We're going to do things a little differently this morning. And Diane, I apologize to you. Don't sit down. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Lisa and Linda. Happy birthday to you. If I'd known, I'd have had you stand up too. Do you care to do the introduction or you want me to?
No, you please.
Okay, folks, we're going to do an experiment in terror. Okay, we're going to do a round?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to do a round based on this is the day that the Lord has made. Okay? Now, we didn't decide which side's going first. Okay. You all are my side. Okay? And we'll start out, okay, this is the day, then they will do a refrain back, or a response back, okay? We'll do the refrain again, they'll do the refrain again, and then to end it up, we'll all try to sing it together. Okay? Are we ready, Martha? This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. This is the day.
Let us rejoice
and
be glad in it.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Thank you. Beautifully done.
Look at the smiles.
They're awake now.
They're awake. And now I know what we're doing. No, you don't have to apologize. It was my chunky process. I love it. Oh, that, hey. How many times have I pulled surprises on you?
Now you know how I feel.
I'm not going to walk all the way back there and give you a hug. I'm just going to say thank you, Rick.
I'll just blow you a kiss.
Oh, thanks. Now, I'm going to, please take this kindly, okay? Methodists are supposed to be singing people, okay? We're supposed to sing loud. We're not supposed to bawl, B-A-W-L, bawl, okay? We're to sing together, all right? And sadly, we've gone through in United Methodism across the U.S., a period in which altogether too many Methodists have forgotten how to sing. Okay? It almost broke my heart. I went to a mass some time ago, and the Catholics were singing better than we tend to do. Okay? So, if you see the hands go on the hips, that means sing louder. Nancy, I'll sit down and shut up.
How nice is it to start your day off with smiles and laughs?
Amen.
Will you please stand and join me, if you're able, in the call to worship? Lord, you have worked all things together for good to bring us together now. We pray that we be allowed to spend not only these next moments, but the rest of today with joy and in remembrance of you. By your life, death, and resurrection, you have opened for us the kingdom of God. Give us a taste of the kingdom now. And the first hymn today is number 158. Come, Christians, join to sing. Joining the celebration of our peace by greeting someone with a smile and a kind word.
Thank you for rolling with it. Good morning.
Good morning.
You doing all right?
Yes. Yes.
You both holding up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
Going well.
I don't know.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, are you going to be coming up too?
Do you want me to?
I don't know. Do you want to? Do you want your mom?
Thank you.
No. I'm pleased to let you know that this morning we will be receiving Desmond Harvey DeGood in membership. I'll get it out, okay? Did I get it right, Desmond? Okay. I felt the need to practice. Okay. If you would take a moment to look at the bulletin insert, we have a number of people who are in need of our prayers. We have a number of people that are having procedures this week. Okay. Some of them are exams. They're not the most comfortable. All right. Some of them are just nuisance things, but they're still hard to go through. So let's keep each other in our prayers. Yes. Amen. Did everybody hear that?
No.
Okay. Okay. David is doing his Emmaus walk this week and asking for special prayers beginning Wednesday through the end of the week. Okay. And see, I always feel uncomfortable doing this because I know the changes that can happen, and they can't be put in words. Okay? So anyway, just be prayerful. And if you want information about Emmaus Walk, okay, I'm going to ask, those of you that have done the walk, would you please stand? Talk to these people. Okay, and next week, David will be standing. Or Sunday after next, he'll be standing. Okay? But do keep him in your prayers. Keep our community in your prayers for the next 48 to 72 hours. Okay? The reason I'm saying this is the path of the eclipse has been judged to be closer to us than originally figured. Okay? So there are going to be crowds of people around here. Okay? Luna Pier, I understand it, already has a horde of people. Okay? Because it's one of the places that the people that do the numbers are pretty much guaranteed it will be in the 100% eclipse area. So, you know, just watch out. Just watch out, okay? And bless you. Yes. Yes. Okay. Do you have a large box that you can put over your head?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because this is the way I watched the last one. Okay. You put a pinhole, okay, in the box. Okay. You keep the box to the side so that the light can come through, and you'll see the eclipse on the side of the box inside. You'll be safe. You'll be safe from looking at it, but surprise! It's the way a pinhole camera works. Yes.
I would also just remind everyone that our Clinton local library has the glasses and they'll give them out for you for free, up to four.
What library? Clinton Library. Okay. Okay.
Every one of the kids at school, the whole district-wide, from pre-K through seniors, are all getting glasses.
Okay.
So
Okay. Yes. Okay. What? One more time, Shirley. Myers has them, and who? Shirley, who else? Hopscotch has them. Okay. 50. If you can't make it to the library and get freebies, you can go to these other places and pay. One of the nice things about God is He won't charge for this show. No admission. Let's be sure to pray for one another. Let's bow together, shall we? O Lord God, there are times when we have so many questions. We don't understand the reasons for what happens, when things happen, how they happen. There are things that you put in your order of all creation that we take personally and that you put there just as a reminder that you really are in control. There are a good many people that view tomorrow with tons of fear. Oh Lord, we choose to see that we don't have to be afraid of our God who is in control of the sun and the moon and the stars. You not only control things out there, you know what's going on down here. You know our need for help, our need for guidance, our need for strength. You know our physical condition and you know our spiritual condition. And, oh Lord, as we prepare for communion, we join together in our prayer of confession because that's something that we need to do. Would you join me? Jesus, we put ourselves into your loving hands. We realize that we only live when we live in your presence. We see that all we really know is what you teach us when we sit at your feet. We have lost our way in life. We need to find you as the goal of our pilgrimage and as our rest along the path. We have been beaten by so much. Let us take refuge in you from the commotion of our world. We have misplaced you as the center of our lives. You are the giver of all good gifts. Help us gather our scattered thoughts and feelings. Bring all our talents and abilities into harmony again so that we can once more find you and know you as the core of our life. We know that you stand at your door and knock. And we are open to let you in. You are the source of life. Amen. We do a prayer confession for two reasons. At least two reasons. One of the reasons is we need to unload stuff that we're carrying that we don't need to carry anymore. Second reason that we do confession is so that we can hear our God say to us, "You're forgiven. You can start over." Hear these words of assurance. Our Lord has heard our prayers. You are forgiven. Thank you. Wow, I don't even have to prompt you anymore. Now, speak forgiveness to the person next to you. Thank you. I need that. Could we take just a moment for silent prayers? God will speak. God will speak if we will but listen. Amen.
Please join me in the affirmation of faith. We believe that Jesus is our Redeemer. He is the one whose life, death, and resurrection saves us. We believe that he came to live with us. He has been one of us. He reveals to us the very heart of God. We rejected him, beat him, and hung him on a tree to die. We believe that he rose from the dead on the third day. He is now at the right hand of God. He is right here with us now. We believe that Jesus has us in his Holy Spirit to fill us with his power. The Spirit gives us all we need to serve him. We believe that we are the body of the risen Lord, the church. It is ours to do his work for the kingdom of God in this world. We believe God, through the cross of Jesus and his resurrection, has bridged all that separates us from each other and from God. Jesus is Lord. Amen. And will you please stand and join us in the Gloria?
Shall we ask the congregation for the anthem? Do I hear a hymn number? One more time, louder. 359? 369. 369.
Thank you.
Thank you. Beautifully sung. You may be seated. Would the children come, please? And as the children come, just a heads up, we're going to be doing things a little differently. After the moments with the children, we'll be accepting Desmond Harvey DeGood into membership. Okay? Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Well, good morning. You're subdued this morning. Do you know what that word means? You're not rowdy. Are you feeling all right? Tired? Yeah. So are the big people making you crazy?
No.
Yes. Okay. Yes? No? Some? Okay. I'm going to talk about tomorrow. All right? There are times when we just want you to be safe and we don't want you to be afraid. Okay. What's tomorrow? The eclipse. Okay. Now, has anybody explained it to you?
Yes.
Okay. Good. It's not something to be afraid of. The reason I'm saying that to you is that sadly some people are very afraid. And they try to make other people afraid. And we don't want you to be afraid. Okay? You will be fine. Just remember to wear your eclipse glasses. I lost my shades. Oh, well. I was going to show you. Oh, there they are. These kind of glasses are not good enough. Okay? You need to have your eclipse glasses. Okay. Yes.
It is
going to be my whole time being up. It is? Two? Okay. Two. Okay. Other people. Okay. So you've seen them too? Okay. So you know something about what's going to happen. Okay. And what's going to happen is, okay, the sun will be like it is today. But then the moon will come and cross in front of the sun so we can't see it from here. Okay? Do you know what daytime is?
Yes.
What is it? It's when the sun is out and looking down on us, okay? Now, we won't be able to see the sun tomorrow because of the eclipse. Guess what? The sun won't be able to see us. Hmm? And we're going to be in a place where almost all of the sun is going to be hidden by the moon. Yeah. Okay. So, don't worry when it starts getting dark. Okay. It'll be about the time school lets out. Okay. It'll be about the time school lets out. So, don't be afraid. Okay. The big people may make you crazy. Because they're trying to protect you and they don't want you looking at the sun without your eclipse glasses. Okay. The important thing to know is that God made all this. And instead of being afraid of it, we need to see how cool it is. Okay. So, to tomorrow, I know some of you, not by choice, will be watching the eclipse. Okay? The reason I say not by choice is because a mom and her children stayed at our Riverside place last night, and mom brought the children down here from Grand Rapids, Michigan, on the other side of the state, so that they could see the eclipse from here. Okay? People are traveling all over just to get to where the eclipse will be the darkest. Okay? If you haven't been in an eclipse, see, you're not just watching an eclipse and seeing it, you're in it because the light goes dim from the sun. Okay? But you're safe. You're okay. Please remember that. Let's pray. Blessed Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you've told us how much God loves us. You've shown us how much God loves us. And God is the one who made everything, including what's going to happen tomorrow. And Lord, help us to appreciate how wonderful God's work is and not be afraid. Hear our prayer. Amen. Thank you for coming. Do have some goodies. Brothers and sisters in Christ, church membership is putting into action the sacrament of baptism by which we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is offered to us without price. In accepting church membership and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. And now I present Desmond Harvey DeGood. Would you come? We're good. You can look at me and not focus on them. Okay? Desmond Harvey DeGood comes to unite with Clinton United Methodist Church. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If you do, please answer, I do.
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If you do, please answer, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If you do, please answer, I do.
I do.
According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful as a member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world? If you will, please answer, I will.
I will.
As a member of Christ's universal church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If you will, please answer, I will.
I will.
As a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? If you will, please answer, I will.
I will.
Remember your baptism and be thankful. Amen. The Holy Spirit work within you, and having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as faithful a disciple of Jesus as the Spirit leads you. Now, you all, members of the household of God, I commend Desmond Harvey to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. And the congregation responds, the God of all grace, who's called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. Don't just sit there. He needs a standing ovation. They're waiting for him. He's already participating in the ministries of the church. Amen. Amen.
Now will the ushers please come forward for the tithes and offering?
Thank you, Nancy. table. Our Lord Jesus, we thank you. You've given us the gift of yourself. We give you the gift of ourselves. We're so thankful that Desmond has given himself. We bring you all our other gifts. Take us, take these gifts, use all for the glory of your kingdom. Hear our prayer. Amen. And our hymn of preparation is 451. Beautifully sung. You may be seated. Before I forget, okay, planning, we have the core group for the workshop, Bible Bronze Age to Digital Age. We'll be meeting April 20th, meeting at 9 o'clock, okay, here at the church. And we'll probably go till about 3, unless you all do what we ended up doing with the Jesus Revolution, and I think we ended up going to 4-ish or a little later. But that was totally voluntary. It wasn't the long-winded preacher. And just a reminder, okay, Methodists do believe in a number of things, including how to live. The general rules of the church are do no harm, do good, pay attention to God. Real easy stuff. Okay? That's how you're a Methodist. The scripture for this morning is taken from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. I'm only going to focus on one verse. That's chapter 1, verse 10. And as usual, you have homework. Okay? Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, may be the oldest Christian writing that we have. It'll take you all of an hour to read it. please take the time. There's a brief introduction in verse 9 in which Paul proclaims his gladness about news he got about the Thessalonians. He talks about what kind of welcome he had from the people at Thessalonica. He talks about how the Thessalonican people turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Verse 10 says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. For a number of reasons, I've been wrestling with assumptions, my own assumptions, and assumptions that other people have. We live out many assumptions we never really look at. And we do that because it makes life easier. Okay? We don't have to think about it. Now, we put it on the same level as loading the dishwasher. Okay? We do it the same way all the time because it saves time. Now, of course, when there's two people in the kitchen, one of you has the really right way to load the dishwasher. Okay? Now, however, lots of those assumptions are just wrong. Either things have changed or the assumption was wrong from the start. It's common, it's mistaken. An added kink is that we assume everyone thinks the same way we do. I felt like I needed to apologize to the Mike's Coffee crew this morning because I've introduced them to Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who thinks totally different from almost everybody they've been exposed to. Another kink is this one. Listeners should and will naturally know what you mean when you talk. I know what I want to say in a sermon. I'm not always positive what you're going to hear. We assume things about Holy Scripture. We assume things about the early church, and many of them are likely false. We read the New Testament. The Gospels appear first. Okay? We assume that they were written first. The Gospels describe the life of Jesus. We assume that because they do that, they must have been written first. That probably isn't true. 1 Thessalonians is probably the first of the Christian writings that have survived from the time anywhere near Jesus' time. The oldest remaining Christian works are likely Paul's letters. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians may be his first writing. Notice how conditional I'm making all of this? Because something can happen and be discovered, okay, later today or tomorrow or within the next week that throws everything out of kilter. First Thessalonians may be the earliest Christian writing we still have. It was probably done between 45 and 50 A.D., Common Era, whatever is your preference. And that means it was done 10 to 20 years after Jesus. Some think that it's older than the Gospels. None of the New Testament writings are clearly dated. There's no way to know for sure which came first. Now, I'm going to ask you a simple question. What were you doing on April 7th, 2014? It's only 10 years. Preach it. Okay. What's important is this. It was Paul's effort to encourage and guide the second church he started in Greece. Paul got very worried about the Thessalonians. They were being mistreated. Paul was concerned his hard work among them would be in vain. Some of it was rather simple stuff. Can you imagine going to a market and having the person running the market say, "Oh, you're one of those Christians. I ain't selling to you." When things got really bad, people started picking up rocks. You read about early Methodism, people treated early Methodists the same way. I'm so glad that's changed. Paul had broken all the rules in Thessalonica. He supported himself with his trade, he made tents. He didn't take any money for his preaching. Unlike others, Paul didn't make his preaching a business. Rather than a few days, Paul stayed for months. His practice previously had been mostly stay for a week, 10 days, maybe 2 weeks, then move on. But here he stayed for months. Acts 17 is the only report we have of Paul's time there. It says that finally Paul left the city because local rabble started a riot due to his teachings. For Paul, his measure of effective ministry is whether or not he'd started a riot yet. Am I exaggerating, Bill? It wouldn't hurt now. When Paul left the Thessalonian church, lots of things went wrong. Family, friends, and business associates turned against them. They were snubbed as political radicals. They were considered anarchists, and they were hated as atheists. Can you imagine people feeling that way about us? Paul sent Timothy to check on him. Timothy brought back a good report. So Paul wrote them to inspire them to keep up the good work. The Christians then were a bit like us today. They lived in a morally confused society. People were dishonest. Folks were violent. People were self-indulgent. They were irresponsible. Have I covered most of the bases describing our culture today? First Thessalonians gives a picture of an early church. It is made up of people who'd been idol worshipers. There were a few Jews. It wasn't a huge group of people. It was likely a house church. How many of us are there this morning, Phyllis? 53? Okay, 53. Cut that by a third, and you have one of Paul's larger churches. What's important was they believed Paul's word about Jesus. Jesus is God's Son. Jesus is Christ. Jesus died. God raised him up from being a corpse. Jesus will return. Jesus snatches believers from the wrath to come. And these were people who did not keep their new faith to themselves. Paul tells them that all around them, people know how they came to believe. And people know how they have suffered. They did not hide. Paul puts things in the terms of until Jesus comes back. Paul tells the people how to live until Jesus comes back to gather us all home, take us to Dad's place. Paul talks about the spiritual state that Christians need to always be in. It is a state of love for brothers and sisters in Christ. Our notion of love is very general. The core focus of the love that Paul's talking about is you got to get past yourself. You can't be the center of life, including your own. Now, that kind of love has some specific responsibilities. This love has the responsibility to help in trouble, to stand with and take on the load. Sermon without words every Sunday. In pain, to suffer along with those who are suffering so they know that they are not alone in their pain. In tears, to cry along with the tearful. In poverty, to offer relief. This love has a responsibility to be hospitable. It shares both table and roof. It makes others feel at home and part of the family. This love has the responsibility to nurture, to guide, and to forgive. Paul tells the Thessalonians that they are to grow in rest and quietness. Paul tells them that they are to study working with their own hands. That means making an honest living. It means no dishonest or illegal gain. It means no getting ahead at someone else's expense. Working with our own hands assures us of our own worth. When it's the product of our own hands, we can say, I did it, it's mine. Then I can decide whether I'm going to keep it or share it. Now, Paul's picture of Jesus' return may be the earliest one we have. That's 1 Thessalonians again. The Thessalonians believed that Jesus would return any minute. They were worried that those of their number who had died waiting would get left out. How many times have I said to us, Jesus doesn't come today, he'll come tomorrow? Changes the perspective of how we live. Now, what Paul does is Paul reassures the Thessalonians that those who have died waiting will meet Jesus first when he returns. Then the rest of us will meet him. I was raised in a church environment when there were lots of arguments about what this meant. Okay? I came to the conclusion that the simplest way to deal with it is, look, Jesus is coming back. Nobody's going to get left out. We still wait for Jesus' return. We still need to put everything in terms of until Jesus comes back. We still need to live in the state of self-transcending love for brothers and sisters in Christ. We still need to grow in rest and quietness. We still need to study working with our own hands until, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, with a loud command and with the shout of a chief angel and a blast of God's trumpet, the Lord will return from heaven. Then those who had faith in Christ before they died will be raised to life. Next, all of us who are still alive will be taken up into the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the sky. From that time on, we will all be with the Lord forever. Encourage each other with these words. Notice it doesn't talk about pearly gates and it doesn't talk about streets of gold. Only talks about the Jesus who loves us. I hope he's our best friend. I like to think he's my best friend. Amen? Thank you. I'd like to invite you to the closing hymn. No, I'm not. We are. I'm glad. So did I. You just saw what happens to this preacher when he gets all involved in trying to think and be in present somehow with Jesus and share that with you. I don't know, Bill, was it sometimes overwhelming for you? Never. The Sunday morning coffee group is talking about what it means to be the church and what it means to be the body of Christ. And amongst the things that we're rediscovering together is that no one can be the body of Christ all by his or herself. That's why we're the church. Okay? When we come to the bread and the cup, okay, we're coming to be with Jesus. When we take the bread and the cup, Jesus is becoming core of who we are. And then, okay, we are to leave the table and be Jesus to one another and to the world. Think about it, folks. Sometimes some of the people we meet, the only Jesus that those people will see will be what they see in you. Ours is an open communion. All are invited to the bread and the cup. Let us pray. Blessed Jesus, we thank you. You have consecrated the bread and the cup beyond anything that we can do. When you took the bread and broke it and said, "This is my body," you knew what was coming. You'd seen it happen. Crucifixions may have happened in your own neighborhood when you were growing up. When you took the cup and said, "This is my blood," you knew the cost that the days ahead would bring. You knew what you were about to do would change the relationship between all human beings and God. Our Lord, help us to know those truths. Help us to know the reality of your crucifixion, but more importantly, help us to know the reality of your resurrection. Put your blessing on the bread and the cup. Make them be for us your body and your blood. And make us be your body working together for your kingdom in your world. Hear our prayer. Amen. Would you come, an avenue to God through Holy Communion? The body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. Eat, drink, let Jesus transform you. Amen. The body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. Eat, drink. Let Jesus become the core of who you are and change you to the core of who you are. Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. Eat, drink. Let Jesus become the core of who you are. May you do what Jesus would do. Of Christ broken for you, the cup, the blood of Christ shed for you. Eat, drink, let Jesus become the core of who you are, moving you to do what he would do. Broken is the body of our Lord, the cup his blood shed for us. Eat, drink, let Jesus become the core of who you are, and may you go and do all things in his service. Amen. Thank you. was broken for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Eat, drink. Let Jesus become the core of who you are. Doing all things as he would do. Christ broken for us. The cup is his blood shed for us. Let's eat and drink. Let Jesus become the core of who we are. And let us do what he would do for the glory of the kingdom of God. Amen. Now we can sing the closing hymn. 469.
Jesus is all the world to me.
Now, if you'll join me in the benediction. God, make us the mystical body of your Son, Christ our Lord. Give us grace to follow him in holy living. Then we can come to those great joys that you have prepared for those who love you. Amen.
Amen.
Announcements. Does anybody?
I do real quick, Nancy. I can come up front because that's easier instead of making everybody turn their heads around. We put out a notice that the church has left the building is going to be on Sunday the 5th this year. We have some people that have already started to give us ideas and different projects that we have at other people's houses. But if you know of anybody that needs any help, we have a good idea for things that we're going to be having in the church. We're going to do beans and rice again. We're going to do Catherine Cobb bags again. We're going to do some Mother's Day things. There's a whole list of things that will be happening around the church. But if you have anybody that knows of anything, or if you know of anybody that needs any help around their house outside of here, please do share. We're assembling those lists.
We got one more.
Thank you for everyone that helped and everyone that came and enjoyed the breakfast last Sunday. I think it was a wonderful success. I also want to say the Men's Fellowship does not have the breakfast in April. We're not having it because we just had a big breakfast last week. So we will have it again in May. So with that, thank you again.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you.
Extremely well done.
Yep.
Extremely well done. Todd and all the guys. Whew. There is coffee. Okay, there is coffee. And I only went 30 minutes over today, so